The internet is, in my opinion, a really neat tool for a whole host of applications. For my family, a lot of our shopping takes place online, particularly on Amazon, Cabela's, and eBay. Also, it's a great way to find out information for more scholastic endeavors. My oldest daughter frequently uses the internet to research topics for school projects, and I often make use of it to do the same for some of my job duties, including field notes. It's also terrific for entertainment purposes, such as streaming music and movies. One of my favorite uses is during football season. The internet affords me the opportunity to not only listen to my beloved Kansas City Chiefs every Sunday, but to be able to listen to Mitch Holthus and Len Dawson call the games. I've spent a pretty substantial portion of my adult life listening to these two fine gentlemen call Chiefs games, and it's fun to still be able to listen to that while living in Alaska. Kind of a have your cake and eat it too kind of thing. So the internet is a very cool thing. Facebook is another big-ticket internet item, and closer to home, there are a number of Facebook-specific pages that have become quite popular. One of these is called Dillingham Trading Post, and while it says Dillingham, I've noticed folks from many of the surrounding villages also spend time there. Not long ago, there was a thread that generated some discussion about foxes and another wild area canine, the coyote. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Growing up in central Kansas, coyotes were a part of my outdoor picture from the time I was old enough to toddle out the door after my dad and grandfather to well into my adult years. We frequently saw coyotes during other outings, such as for fishing. My dad was, and still is, an active predator caller during the winter months. And by the time I was a teen, I was chasing after them too, with large foothold traps and snares. During my college years, the first 2 weeks of November was always set aside for trapping coyotes, and trapping was what helped pay the bills, so I got pretty serious about it. I've seen, photographed, called, shot, trapped, and skinned a few coyotes in my life. There's even one that currently hangs on the wall of my office. Coyotes are medium-sized members of the dog family. If you haven't had a chance to see one up close, an average coyote will tip the scales at 25 to 30 pounds and will be around 4 feet in length when measured from the end of the nose to the tip of what's usually a very bushy tail. They stand about 2 feet high at the shoulder. Like their cousins the wolves, the color can vary, but in most cases, it's a tawny tan, brown, gray combination on top with black-tipped guard hairs. The belly, underside of the neck, and chin are white or cream-colored. The tail is tipped black. There can be regional variations, such as much lighter-colored populations found in parts of the Rocky Mountains, or darker, redder variations across the southeast. On all, the ears are erect and pointed, and the snout is narrow and tapered. The forelegs, sides of the head, muzzle, and paws are normally a reddish-brown. On the critter smart scale, coyotes trend towards the upper end, and a lot of that is owed to their remarkable senses. They have exceptional hearing and eyesight, and their sense of smell is simply outstanding. In fact, that sense of smell is both a blessing and a curse. It can bail them out of dangerous situations, such as detecting a hunter that's upwind or a trap that's not properly cleaned and bedded, but it's also something hunters and trappers can rely on when using lures and baits to pull them in close. Even so, a coyote's senses serve them very well. Coyotes are extremely opportunistic feeders. There's probably not a lot in this world that they'd turn their noses up at. Here around southwest Alaska, snowshoe hares, rodents, ground squirrels, fish, small birds, insects, and carrion are the most common dietary items. Across parts of the lower 48, they can be an absolute menace with livestock, particularly cattle and sheep. They also prey heavily on domesticated pets, particularly cats. Again, there's not a lot that can't be turned into a meal when it comes to a coyote. They are also quite diversified in how they go about getting food. They hunt as single animals, in pairs, and also in packs. They employ cooperative techniques which allow them to capture animals that wouldn't be caught by single animals. At the other end of the spectrum, coyotes have to worry about evading wolves, bears, some larger raptors, and man. In the case of man as a predator, it's almost always in the form of sport hunting or trapping for their fur or simply predator control. Coyotes breed between the first of the year through March. Coyotes form strong family groups, and mated pairs may stay together through spring, with the male and female sharing in the parenting duties. The female gives birth to litters that can vary from 3 to 12 pups. The pups are born in a den, often a den created by some other animal. The pups are blind and helpless at birth. For the first several weeks, they live solely on the mother's milk. They are weaned at a month and a half and can rustle up their own meals by about 3 to 4 months. Perhaps the biggest indicator of the craftiness of the coyote is the fact that they continue to increase in both population and range. Let me be clear about that statement. This is no small thing. In the early 1900s, the U.S. government put forth strong efforts to completely eradicate coyotes. Bounties were offered. I remember my grandfather telling me about killing coyotes and turning in the ears for money. Government agents not only used guns, but poisons as well, in their efforts to free ranch and agricultural areas of coyotes. Well, it didn't work. Today, coyote numbers are, very likely, at an all-time high. They are found across all parts of North and Central America, except for extreme northeastern areas of Canada and some remote parts of Mexico. My guess is that, if you check back in another decade, they'll be thriving in those areas also. It's not just total range, either. Coyotes are found in every type of climate and habitat, from the most arid desert areas to the humidity of the deep south, and from wide-open prairies to dense coastal forests. They have also adapted to urban life, and large populations can be found within many large U.S. cities, including places like Chicago and Los Angeles. A study done by Ohio State University a few years back found that there's a population of several thousand coyotes living in the greater Chicago area, and it's suspected similar populations abound in other U.S. cities. And yes, they are also found around the Bristol Bay area. Perhaps no other North American animal has shown such remarkable resilience and adaptability. Supposedly, when everything is dead and gone, it's the cockroaches that will still be around. I'm not so certain that the coyotes won't be there to keep them company. They are still very much an animal with a bullseye on their chest, and yet they continue to thrive. It's estimated that the government still accounts for as many as 90,000 coyotes killed annually to protect livestock. Many states don't have a designated hunting or trapping season for them. This is to allow and encourage people to harvest coyotes at any point on the calendar in order to help keep their numbers manageable. Most farmers I know in Kansas still carry rifles in their pickup cabs and don't hesitate to shoot at any coyote they encounter. And they encounter plenty. One other trait I haven't mentioned. Coyotes are very vocal animals. In fact, a couple of other names I've heard them called by include song dog and yodel dog. They howl, yip, yelp, and bark with the best of them. Coyote howling is very common in the evenings and mornings across Kansas. Many evenings while deer hunting, the howling of so many coyotes was a melody that seemed to absolutely surround me. One last note today. During the introduction, I mentioned being able to listen to my Chiefs on radio. It occurs to me that the Chiefs have previously been mentioned on KDLG. Back during the membership drive a few months ago, Mr. Nick Tweet of Dillingham made a pledge, for which I and KDLG thank him, that carried with it some disparaging remarks about the Chiefs. While I would never use KDLG as a bully pulpit, I would humbly point out, mere fact and nothing more, that the Chiefs are the only remaining unbeaten team in the NFL, while his St. Louis Rams own a sub-500 record and are on the bottom of their division. Not that I carry grudges. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.